Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Whether you find yourself in darkness or you allow the opinions of others to dominate you, today's Friday reflection is for you. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Just a little announcement before we get started today. As you know, Motivate Me is taking it on the road in May, where we'll be interviewing people live in each of the 50 states. I am super excited to share with you that the Max Challenge of Toms River, New Jersey has offered to sponsor me through their 10-week body and mind renewal system. This system is designed to make fast and lasting changes to appearance and overall well-being, and they combine nutrition counseling, fitness classes, and motivation in a way that has been perfect for me. I feel like I have a personal trainer, a nutritional counselor, and a success coach. The staff is extremely knowledgeable, and the support of the other members is something truly special. So I just want to say thank you to the Max of Toms River. I know I am in great hands. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Friday's Reflection. I'd like to start this episode off with a few words by Dr. Wayne Dyer. The components of anxiety, stress, fear, and anger do not exist independently of you in the world. They simply do not exist in the physical world, even though we talk about them as if they do. So this week, it was extremely easy for me to reflect on our guests and find that common denominator, the common thread that links each of them and their stories. Each of this week's guests has had an experience that required they either make a change in their life and person or succumb to a darkness that would leave them empty and unhappy. One that could possibly even injure them. I applaud Jessica, Keith, Kara, and Alan for speaking so openly this week, for sharing what most people have a hard time uttering privately. Here's my question for you today, listeners. What enables these guests to be so brave? Let's see if we can determine this by revisiting each of their stories. On Monday, yoga instructor Jessica Anselman was on the show. Jessica lives on a small farm in northern Texas, and her passion, sounds funny, but her passion is her donkeys. Now, at first glance, that sounds so sweet and cute and funny even, right? And then when you see her cool pictures on Instagram and her legitimate Facebook page and the fact that she's writing a blog called A Donkumentary, her passion begins to become a more serious one. Before interviewing Jessica, I really thought that was where her story would begin and end. I thought it would be great to share, but the reality of it all took it to a whole new different level. To find out how Jessica and her husband become owners of the donkeys, you can listen to the episode. But what I would like to point out here is that Jessica has severe anxiety, and she credits the donkeys with helping her through this. She says that it's them, more than her yoga lifestyle, that has inspired her to slow down, to gain clarity, and to make self-discoveries, that they teach her every day about love and loyalty and about how to care for her son. For so long, Jessica coped quietly with her anxiety, feeling great shame. But after finding herself away from Houston big city life and in a tiny rural town with no friends or family and with a 3-month-old baby, It's the relationship she formed with her donkeys that gave her the courage and confidence for true self-acceptance. On Tuesday, Scotland's Keith Blakemore Noble was on the show. Keith was that little kid who had a great imagination, the one running around the house trying to hypnotize everybody. But to become a hypnotist would be crazy, right? So Keith went to college after high school and he studied computer science. And then he got a job, one he stayed at for 25 years, one in which he found great success. But Keith had a problem. He feared face-to-face interactions. And once his success got to a place where his phobia impacted his livelihood, he left. And he didn't just leave his job. He left his home with a garden. He left his country. And he went and studied under a coach who used hypnotism in his practice, all the way in Bali. The best part? Keith became a trainer and speaker, someone who interacts with people not just one-on-one, but in groups, in auditoriums, and on my show now globally. What was it with Keith, though, that made him give it all up, that enabled him to quell the panic attacks and interact with people, that allowed him to speak with me and with all of you? That's the question I hope to have answered by the end of the show today. On Wednesday, we spoke with Kara Viana from the Big Island in Hawaii, where she, apart from her day job, is a spiritual teacher and coach. Kara started her episode by sharing with us that she's always been a person who's sensitive in nature, and that over time, this brought a lot of darkness into her life to the point where she didn't think she belonged here anymore. We discuss on the show how brave Kara is for living a lifestyle that is so spiritually free, one that puts her in a different place than many of her peers. We discuss that had Kara not been sensitive, had she not experienced the darkness, she may not have had the fortitude and courage to believe and teach and speak openly about the passion she has for all things spiritual and joyful. Kara has a wisdom way beyond her years that stems from all she's experienced, and she's spreading joy with it. What has enabled Kara to slide from one end of the spectrum to the other is today's great question. Thursday, Alan Meisner, an internal auditor for a Fortune 500 company who is also a podcast host and personal trainer for the 40-plus generation, he was on the show. And this is a guy who, when he is successful at work, it means someone else is doing something wrong. A position that sometimes has to end careers and even companies. For obvious reasons, his health suffered and his relationship suffered. But it was on a beach in Hawaii that he took a serious look at his life and the direction it was headed. And he had a profound thought. The company that was closing because of discoveries he made had nothing to do with him, and that he shouldn't sacrifice another minute over feeling badly about the decisions people and corporations make, choices that had nothing to do with him, that he was doing the right thing, he was doing what he was hired to do, and that not making the proper discoveries would mean he was in the wrong. He chose then to refocus his life, and in doing so, he created for himself an encore career, one that he looks forward to moving into when his corporate one has run its course, one that took bravery to step out and accomplish. Today is Friday. I'm going to be honest and say that unlike these four guests, I have many more reservations about speaking so openly about my greatest challenges. And it's just simply because I'm not as brave as them. These four people get their courage from a deep place, a place I've never been. For Jessica, it was in the shame she felt over her anxiety. For Keith, it was in the fact that he could not have conversations with strangers without experiencing panic attacks. For Kara, it was in the darkness caused by depression. And for Alan, it took the crumbling of his company and his family. I've had plenty of lows in my life, lows that have taught me compassion and empathy. But I've never experienced the kind of low that frees you from the judgment of others, that inspires you to be this brave. Because it appears to me, after all of the similar stories such as these that I've heard and witnessed, it is as if you need to feel as if you have already almost lost it all before you've learned enough to know that what other people think of you truly does not matter. It is this that cuts the ties that bind. So my question to you today, everyone, what can we learn from this week's guests? How can we make their experiences benefit us, free us from the same constraints? What is it about your life, your circumstance, your want to do in this world? I think the answer is that if you were at rock bottom, if you were lost in the same type of darkness, you would emerge not freaking caring about what anyone had to say about your choices in life. Who are these other people, and why do they feel the right to put their opinions on you? Let's remember that those people who judge you and make comments to you are reacting the way they do because of what they need to work on in themselves. It's never about what you're doing. It's always about them. Trust me when I tell you that I've been getting some interesting comments sailed my way about going on this upcoming 3-month tour of the United States with the show. And I'm not going to say that I don't find these digs a little hurtful and that they don't cause me to stop and think. However, more than anything, I find that incredibly revealing. The thing is, people judge and take issue with you when they see their weaknesses in your strengths. It drives them crazy. But when people do this, it has nothing to do with you. It's not about you and does not mean that you should alter your direction because of their opinion. Let's say you did change your direction because of someone else's opinions. Let's say you always wanted to go to school for theater, but your best friend who did the school play with you talked you out of it. "Oh, Beth," she said, "you can't go to school for theater. You can't sing, and the kids in college are going to be so much better than you. You're not going to get any parts. You probably won't even get into the program because you don't have enough experience. Besides, what kind of job can you get with a degree in theater? I don't know. Sounds stupid." Notice the condescending laugh that typically accompanies manipulation and control. Here's what I want you, Beth, to consider. How will you feel when you're almost 2 years into your business degree? Because that's practical, right? And you start seeing pictures online of your friend from high school, and she's in her college play. And here's what the caption reads: "Playing Margot in The Diary of Anne Frank was an experience that changed my life. I don't know how I couldn't make theater my career." You see, all of the fears the friend listed to Beth were her own. They had nothing to do with Beth. She was talking herself out of it. The friend didn't feel she was a good enough singer. She feared the other older students in the wide world of college could be more talented than she. She made assumptions that she wasn't good enough to get a part in a college-level play, and she assumed she didn't have enough experience. Also, her fear about not being able to get a job in theater when leaving college really means, "I don't know if my parents will support this choice because it is not a practical major." Notice, not one of these concerns had to do with Beth. They were all the issues of her friend. So, listeners, what or who have you been allowing to hold you back from your dreams or your interests? What would you be doing if nothing else and nobody else mattered? Now, of course, I'm not saying shirk responsibilities, like paying your rent or being an invested partner or being a good parent. But if you want to start taking dance class again, ignore the comments of your mother-in-law. Because the reality is, she always wanted to take painting classes. Why hasn't she? Because she's allowed her husband's comments of what would you want to go do a stupid thing like that for to hold her back. If you've been paying attention this episode, then you know that I know that the husband knows he's holding his wife back from doing something she enjoys because there's something he's always wanted to do, but let his insecurities hold him back, like that auto repair shop he'd always wished he'd opened. See, here's the thing. It's a vicious cycle. But the people who find themselves trapped by things like anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and even the harsh expectations of the corporate world, like this week's guest, have reached a low that's allowed them to flourish. This reminds me so much of a previous guest I had. His name is Mark Boness. Mark attempted suicide because his marriage failed and he worked for the church, because he was drinking too much and was struggling with his sexuality. For him, it was all over. He couldn't live this life anymore, and he chose not to. However, he was saved, and this experience was the most freeing of all, because he no longer cared about what anyone thought. Because compared to not being here, the opinions of others is small. Because compared to him no longer being in their lives, anything he wanted to do felt okay to him now. That's the point, everybody. Don't hold back because you fear what others will think or say. Remember, if someone takes issue with what you enjoy doing in your life, it is because for some reason they are not doing what they enjoy. And if others react in a way that is hurtful to you, know that they will get over it because they will choose having you in their life rather than not. There is a repercussion for this, though. I'm not going to lie. And that is that they will respect you more because of it, that they will respect what it took to do it, and the fact that you were strong enough to move forward without their support. From me to you today, listeners, this life is meant for living. Are you? Please remember that you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.